The E-Commerce Fuel Podcast is brought to you by OneClick Upsell, the most popular, largest upsell app in the Shopify marketplace, trusted by over 11,000 users, over 1,900 of those big spending Shopify Plus stores, and they've generated over $200 million in revenue for the merchants that use them. And you may be thinking, oh, hey, Andrew, I've heard of OneClick Upsell. I know these guys, but do you really? Do you know what they've rolled out recently? They've got some cool new stuff. For their pre-purchase and their post-purchase upsells, you can now select from multiple different offers to present your customers. So instead of having them just have to pick from one single thing, you can give them the option to pick from multiple upsells, which helps and has proven to increase the number of people who actually take you up on those upsells. So if you're not using upsells in your store, it's an amazingly easy, fast way to increase your average order value and your revenues. So check them out at ecommercefuel.com/upsell. The E-Commerce Fuel Podcast is brought to you by Fulfill.io. Imagine for a minute that you had a central business brain that looked at every facet of your e-commerce operation, shipping, ordering inventory, accounting, everything to help you make better decisions. Not just about growing your top line revenue, but about being profitable. If that sounds compelling, you should check out Fulfill.io. They're the only cloud ERP designed to help you efficiently and most importantly, profitably scale your 8 or 9-figure brand. They do that through better forecasting, smart supply chain planning, identifying operational bottlenecks that you can go in and solve to open up the full potential of your business, and also a really powerful and incredible warehouse management system for reduced misships and mispicks for better customer experience. And they're the highest rated ERP among e-commerce fuel members. Not NetSuite, not Skubana, not Odoo, but Fulfill. So if you're interested in growing, but growing profitably, you'll definitely want to check them out. And you can do that at ecommercefuel.com/Fulfill. Hey, it's Andrew here, and welcome to the E-Commerce Fuel Podcast, the show dedicated to helping 7- and 8-figure brand owners build incredible businesses and amazing lives. And it is, man, it is the end of summer, at least up here in the United States / Northern Hemisphere. Kids are going back to school. Man, our kids have been, our house is like the house that has like, we have 3 kids and then there's like anywhere from 2 to 5 other kids almost usually simultaneously at the house, which has made me regret a little bit giving up the office for the summer in Montana. But getting things done, definitely appreciating the noise canceling on the headphones. And man, it's cool seeing what kids do in the summer times. Like just this morning, my daughter rigged up a zip line of very dubious integrity, $5 rope from you know the hardware store. Definitely not rated for any kind of weight. The device being used to slide down, it was a handkerchief. The tie point was probably 9 to 10 feet up in the air. Tested it out 10 times before she asked me to check it out, and she survived. But just classic summer, running around with kids, it's been good to see. They're going to be back in school soon. So wrapping things up and somehow managed to be productive. And this week, I'll be frank, a lot of times I'll have 7, 8, 9, 10 episodes in the can. It was empty, and I was looking at it today for my podcast deadline, thinking, man, what am I going to talk about today? We got a bunch of episodes coming up next week on the recording calendar. But one thing I've been wanting to chat about, which we're going to dive into here very shortly once I stop rambling, is E-Commerce Fuel's financial tech stack. I want to talk about what we're using financially, the tech tools, the banking tools, touch real quickly on credit cards, retirement, how to you know keep cash and keep it earning peak rate with minimum inconvenience, all this kind of stuff, and a few other things, as well as kind of a routine for looking at the books. Something that has changed a little bit. And while this definitely won't perfectly mirror your business, I think there's some things that I'm sure you can hopefully steal and take away. So even if you're not a financial geek like myself, I hope you enjoy it. And I'm going to kick it off with talking about banking. So probably the biggest change on the financial tech side is using a company called Mercury. You've likely heard of them. They are actually technically not a bank. They're a financial software company, and they partner with banks on the back end. But this has been the biggest leap for me in terms of productivity, efficiency, and just, I hesitate to use the word joy, but when you're coming from a really clunky old 1980s era banking interface to something like Mercury, maybe that is accurate. It's amazing. I have to say, full disclosure, they have been a sponsor of past ECF Live events, but the reason I was using them before they ever sponsored anything and which is actually the reason why we picked them up as a sponsor. So they, all of my business banking, e-commerce fuel, and all any other investment or real estate accounts or business accounts I have, I think I have like five of them at this point, just with Mercury. Great company. Why I like them and why I think they are better than the legacy local bank that I was using. Super fast signups, get an account going online without having to go into a branch, get approved in a couple of days. Syncs with everything. It's a natively digital bank. So my old bank would never sync up with Xero. I'd have to check the connections all the time. It was a huge pain. Never is an issue. Really good permissions. This is the one thing I love. I am very, no one has full access to write checks on the account, on my bank accounts. No one has full access to my checking accounts for my business at all, except for me. I'm kind of paranoid about that. And not even just paranoid. I trust my employees, but just it's a big deal to give that up. But at the same time, it's very difficult to streamline operations when you're the only one that can make those kind of decisions. And Mercury has these permission rules where you can have your bookkeeper, someone on your team, I have my bookkeeper do it. I send her all of my invoices and she loads them up into Mercury for one-click approval. So I can go in there and at a glance, just look it over. Okay, this is correct. Feels gut check, right? And then hit approve and the wire goes out. The check goes out. The ACH goes out. So for me, it's a really great balance for being able to automate 80, 90% of the annoying part and just still have kind of a check and balance. That's really nice. It's got free wires. It's got a bunch of other things, but those are the big things that I like about it. Things I don't like about it. One, there's no human customer support via phone. Their email support's been pretty good, but there's not a phone number you can pick up the phone and actually talk to somebody, which is sometimes a little weird if you've got meaningful balances or issues you need to figure out. And the other thing too, and this sounds really weird, they don't have checks. Like I write very few checks these days, but every now and then you come across an instance or a situation where you have to write a check and you need to be able to give it to somebody. And you can't do that. You can send checks through the mail, but you can't write checks and like mail them with things. And so that's been kind of a little bit of a pain. But overall, Mercury has been a phenomenal upgrade to kind of a local bank. That being said, local banks still keep my local bank account open. I have moved all of the transactions away from that. And again, this is a bank like it's just in our state, just in Montana. You walk in, you can talk to people. So it's really nice if for the personal relationship side, for when you need those kind of things. And I keep it as a backup because you never know when a bank is going to go. Sometimes it's just nice to have a backup bank for deposits, for funding quickly if something ever happened to your primary bank. So you wouldn't have to wait 3, 4, 5, 6 days, maybe a week to get a business banking up, depending on the situation. So still keep that as a backup. So that's the banking side. For accounting, use Xero, which I know was legendary, you know, maybe 8 years ago when cloud-based accounting software was new and revolutionary. Now, I don't think it matters that much. Xero's been fine. We don't use it for inventory. And for a lot of people listening, you know, even QuickBooks, I'm not sure is the best inventory solution. You're going to want to have something else on top of that. But Xero's been fine. And the fact that they still charge like $30 a month for it just kind of blows my mind. So works fine. I think it's, you know, that and QuickBooks, it's not a huge point of, you know, yeah, not a whole lot to say there. It works. It gets the job done. The credit card stack that we're using now, I feel like a lot of people love credit card hacking and have tons of cards to maximize their spend. I feel like I have kind of taken the let's keep it simple route and not have a million cards and a million different things. I have two different, really just primarily two cards, two accounts. One is for any recurring account, recurring charge that we have and that all goes onto one card. And the reason for it is because then we can set it up and auto-categorize it with that card in Xero so that every time we get our AWS bill, every time that we pay for Wistia, every time that we pay for our email service provider, I don't have to go in and do any kind of reconciliation or classify that. That just automatically gets coded correctly for my bookkeeper every single time. And it's all on that one card. So it's streamlined. She knows what to expect in that account. The other card is a card for one-time bigger expenses. So this is a card I have hooked up to our expense tracking software, which I'll talk about in a minute. And I know that anything in this account, because I can link this card exclusively into Expensify, which is what we use to track expenses, I can use that for when I'm traveling, for taking receipts, for one-off expenses, anytime I need receipt tracking. And the beauty of this is that I don't clutter up my expense reports or having to tell my accountant that we're reconciling stuff or categorizing stuff that happens every month. So a credit card for all the recurring expenses, subscriptions, and then one for all the one-time, one-off expenses for when we're traveling, doing events, things like that. And that works really well from a streamlined perspective. The recurring expense card is a Spark Business Miles 2% miles, 2 miles for every $100 spent, which is, it's fine. You know, it can rack up some travel points over time, which is nice. And then the other card for the bigger expenses is the Spark Cash Plus. So 2% cash back on everything. I like that one. I like having the cash back. It's just, you can from different perspectives, you can get a check from it. I just sent to you. You can get debits, you know, that kind of do card balances, which I wouldn't recommend. You want to talk to a lawyer here about this, but from what I have seen, the IRS ruling on either cash back on credit card expenses or on miles is that the IRS has kind of washed their hands of it and said, maybe there's new rulings. And again, so check with your counsel, but either of those are like, you know, we're not going to look to tax the benefits from credit cards, the rewards you're going to get in whatever way that those come in. And so if you use your cash back as like a statement credit, you're really reducing, it's not tax advantage to do that because you're reducing your costs, which are a way to be able to reduce your taxable income. So yeah, the other thing I like about the Spark Cash Plus is it doesn't have a preset spending limit. I remember at one of the events that we do, so we do events and if you're in the event space, this won't come as a surprise to you, but they charge you unholy amounts of money for conference room, for coffee, you know, like at most, any conference you go to at any kind of hotel, a gallon of coffee is like $140. And that's before the service fees. It's just egregious. So kind of the whole stick is we'll charge you ridiculous amounts for in exchange for the free space that we give you for your conference. And I remember being at UCFI last year. And on one card that was not this card, we got dinged, and it was like the final hotel bill was coming in before the conference was over for like, you know, a six-figure amount, and it was getting declined. And so the thing I like about the Spark Cash Plus card is you can actually go in. There's no preset spending limit on it, and obviously they run it with different criteria in your credit and things like that. And there's no float as well. I think you have to pay it off within 30 days, maybe 60, but I think it's 30. But you can usually spend, especially once you build up a track record for it, you can get really larger credit limits, which let you kind of run larger amounts through without having to piecemeal it through, which I like. So that's the credit card side of things. We use a tool called Expensify for all our expense reporting, which makes it easy. Everyone, instead of having to track down, hey, Patrick, what did you spend this for? Hey, Sherelle, what was this expense for? Hey, Audrey, like, oh, what happened here? Everyone has a card. So on one of those it's the Spark Cash Plus card, the one that we use for one-off expenses. Everyone has kind of a subcard on that, or most people do. And then they fill out a monthly expense report, which categorizes all their expenses on their respective credit cards under that account and syncs it up to zero. So when the bookkeeper goes through, everything is matched. And she doesn't do the books until all those expenses are kind of reconciled with zero. So it makes it super easy. It's on everyone else to get their expense reports done, and it reconciles everything well. Expensify does it. It is not great. The level of complexity and confusion with setting it up, I consider myself a reasonably technical person, and it was kind of a nightmare to get set up. We've got it working now, and we're not going to break it because I don't want to go back through it with another system. If you're thinking about Expensify, I'd maybe consider some other options. Gets the job done, but it's a steep learning curve. So, and sadly, don't have any great ones to recommend. So maybe if you do have a great one, hit me up on Twitter in the community. I'd love to hear it. Speaking of the community, quick little aside. This is the kind of stuff that if you're listening and you're actually listening to this still, because you have a business, you actually make decisions, you are interested in the cool financial tools to run the financial side of your business. This is the kind of stuff that all of us are geeking out about in e-commerce fuel regularly. So we have threads on, like I talked about Mercury, how people are liking Mercury. We have tons of threads on financing options for your business. I'm not going to talk about that in this kind of tech stack flow, but all the different financing options, why merchant cash advances are not a great deal, what to do instead of those. We have a whole review directory on accountants. I use an accountant firm called carecpa.com, which has done a great job for me, but we've got finding a good accounting firm for e-commerce is notoriously difficult. So we have reviews on lots of accountants in there. All this kind of stuff is there's just an amazing amount of resources, discussion, reviews, and discourse on this in our community. So if you're a 7 or 8 figure business owner and you want to really dive into this kind of stuff and cut the learning curve dramatically, apply to join us. Would love to have you. And you can do that at ecommercefuel.com. All right. So a few other things, retirement. We use a simple IRA for our retirement. And to be honest, man, there's so many different options between, I need to go back and revisit this because you've got like 401ks, you have Roth 401ks, you've got the simple IRAs, you've got the SEP IRAs, which you can really max out if you don't have a lot of employees. There's a ton of different options here. I went through and did all the analysis. What was it? 5 years ago, 6 years ago, settled on a simple IRA, and we use Vanguard, which is like the absolute, it's like bare minimum. If you have Vanguard and you've logged in before on the business side, you know what I'm talking about. Like this company has, I think it's probably trillions of dollars under management. I could be wrong, but I bet it's at least a trillion, if not more. And their interface looks like it was designed by a NASA engineer in like the 70s, right? It gets the job done. It works. I would love to go to Guardline or something similar, something that integrates automatically with Gusto, something that we can look at some profit sharing potentially, because we do profit sharing now, but we do it in I don't think this is the most tax advantaged way. We kind of do it after tax, which is not great. Anyway, we're using Vanguard, but would love to look at Guardline or something similar on the retirement front. Cash management. So this is something you've got, you know, you think through cash management in your business and it's going to be a little bit different than if it's on the personal side. One reason I love the way we do it is you want to strike a balance, I think, of having, you don't want to always be focusing on your cash. Like if you're thinking about putting every little cent to work every day, you probably have better things that you should be focused on. But I think on like a monthly basis or every couple of weeks, putting that cash to work in a high yield fund, especially if it's easy, low friction, automated, it's just a no-brainer, especially with rates where they are right now. So Mercury, this is another reason I love Mercury. They have a treasury account attached to it. And you can do an automatic sweep. I think in our account, I have a threshold set. And it says anytime the balance goes above X, where I feel like, hey, this is a good amount of working capital in our checking account, move all that money over to treasury. And so the balance goes above X, and I think it's twice a month it will sweep all of that money into treasury, which is earning, you know, 5% plus. Over at Mercury, which is great. It's fantastic. So there is like a 3 or 4 day delay between the two. So you get, you know, want to make sure you have a little margin in case you need it. But I really like that. I also, this is a little different for some people. I e-commerce fuel is, I'm the sole owner. So you try not to move money in and out too much, you know, in terms of, you know, shareholder withdrawals and then bring it back into the business. You try to reduce that as much as possible. But I also look at, you know, cash reserves personally and business-wise kind of in the same bucket because I'm the only owner and it's 100% pass-through entity. So Wealthfront is a place where personally, and even for some cash reserves that I keep, that I could use for the business, but I keep on the personal side. In Wealthfront, they pay really well and they're actually FDIC insured, which is shocking. They have meaningful FDIC insurance at paying 4.85% right now, which is pretty impressive. Ally Bank doesn't pay as well, but they have transfers that come in and out incredibly quickly, usually in one day, which I really like. And there's a product I've never tested before, but I've heard about it, and I'd like to test it, called Titan Smart Cash, which the idea behind that is you deposit your money with them, and then they pretty much move it around to the highest yield accounts at the time. So you, instead of having to like open the accounts and you know, move it all around and again keep going bouncing back and forth, they do that for you, which is pretty cool. So that's on the cash side. A little bit total rabbit trail here. One thing I've been thinking through is like money market versus stocks. And I talked a little bit, two, three episodes ago about how much to pull out of your business, how should you invest it, things like that. I'm not a financial advisor. Don't pretend to be one. But one thing I have thought through, in the environment we're in now where money market rates are really high, it's easy to think, well, money market, just keeping it in money markets is just as good as stocks. And even if you look at like, let's say 5.5% versus let's say 8 to 10%, especially for the risk you take on, you can think, wow, that's, you know, I think I'm going to stick in money market. And if you need the funds in the near future, or even may need them, I think that's a prudent choice. But if you have a long-term time horizon, two things I think that make sense to consider when you think about how much cash to keep in your business versus to pull out. One is money market doesn't compound risk-free. So if you take $100,000 and you put it in, a money market account, you're going to earn that interest, but every year you are paying tax on that interest. Whereas if you put that into that money market into an ETF or a S&P 500 index, the vast majority of your gains on that, if you have gains, are going to come from appreciation on average versus dividends. And those are going to be able to compound risk, you know, with tax-free. So you don't have to decrease those. They just compound tax-free. It's like a, you know, it's unless you sell it, which you don't. So your money market isn't compounding like an index or stock would. The other thing is you're paying higher tax rates on money market interest, which is just interest. It might, you might have some benefits from state taxes, but I believe on the federal side, you're still paying normal income tax rates, whatever your income tax rate is, for your interest. Versus if you do sell stock and pay tax on that, you're paying long-term capital gains rates, which in most cases is going to be significantly lower. Anyway, a little total financial geekery rabbit trail, but one thing to think about, and I've been thinking about a little bit more on the money market versus stock side of things. So last thing here, monthly book reviews. I usually get my books, financials, between the 15th and the 20th, depending on the month. Often it's closer to the 20th if our expense reports are late and I have to get pushed to get those done, or our team does. So I get those, I will look those through, and I always go through and do a line-by-line review of my P&L. And I like doing this actually not in, my accountant will send me the PDF version, which is a nice for a quick glance if I'm, you know, just need to look at it quickly, but I like doing it in the actual Xero account. Because what I can do is I can click into every single account. And so if I'm going through and I'm like, okay, you know, like insurance, travel, travel $8,000 this month? I can click in there and see line by line what's going on. Every month, anything recurring, I always go through and look every month to kind of just do a quick spot check. And sometimes you'll go through, and I'm very guilty of this, like we have an AWS credit or an AWS charge of like, I don't know, a dollar or two every month. And I don't know why it's happening. I'm not sure which account it's for because we have a few different accounts. And in my mind, I'm like, it is worth $12 a year for me not to have to deal with this or not to have someone else deal with this. And in that case, I'll just leave it. But there's also regularly things that I forget we signed up for that we're no longer using. And even if it saves you, you know, sometimes it won't save you that much. Sometimes it'll save you a meaningful amount of money. Anyway, so I love doing line by line review and doing it in the software so I can click in and really see not just the category, but the specific charges that compound to that. I think it's just, it'll save you money. It helps you be a tighter operator. And I think it's good financial discipline. The other thing is, you know, you've got your balance sheet. I look at that as well. And you have a cash flow statement. Cash flow, depending on your business for e-commerce, that's a hugely important statement to look through because it's, especially with inventory purchases and other things, your P&L, your profit on paper can be so different from your cash flow statement. And that's kind of a topic I think a lot of people probably appreciate and maybe, well, not maybe, definitely merits its own episode. But one thing I like to do on the cash flow statement and set this up recently was I like having a slightly modified cash flow statement. My bookkeeper sends this to me in Excel that backs out taxes, shareholder distributions I've taken, and any unusual events. So like we do events for e-commerce fuel. We'll have a month where we bring in hundreds of thousands of dollars in ticket sales. And it looks like we did, you know, crazy great cash. And then other months we'll have hundreds of thousands of dollars of cash that goes out the door with no revenue because we've sold the tickets earlier in the year. So I want to know that. It's important. You have to plan for that. But I also want to know on a monthly basis, like what's the core cash flow from running the business? It gives me a sense of just kind of general health and well-being. So it's the cash flow statement. And depending on how detailed your cash flow statement, maybe you can infer this based on the report that QuickBooks or Xero kicks out for you. But I like having core cash flow, which is what's my cash flow? Add back in my taxes, add back in any unusual shareholder distributions, and add back any unusual events that happened, i.e. ticket sales or big event expenses. And so that gives me a great cash flow. Okay. In our normal operating business, from our normal operations, here is the cash flow for the business. And I really like seeing those. So that's it. That's the kind of very high level, quick and dirty, although it's not, I mean, we're probably pushing 20 minutes here, not that dirty, but the tech stack I'm using for the business. And granted, I left out a lot of things on the e-commerce operational side in terms of some of the things with maybe inventory planning or financing, a lot of other things. We have a lot of discussions about those in the community. But hope this was interesting. Hope it was helpful. Hopefully maybe you got a couple nuggets in here. And if you have tools on the Expensify side or the expense reporting side, or especially the retirement side, or anything else that you think is a really cool financial tool for running your business, I'd love to hear about it. At Twitter, at Udarian, I need to change that handle. It's a horrific name to try to spell, let alone pronounce. So you can hit me there. I'm in the community, of course. You can PM me there, or Andrew at ecommercefuel.com. Would love to hear from you there. So thanks so much for listening. Back next week with kind of more guests and a few fun things on the podcast coming up. Also, we're going to be in Austin, September 28th. This is probably the last week to register for that, expecting 75 people for a kind of a 9:30, 10 to about 4 or 5 o'clock event. This is just for community members. So if you're in the community, you haven't signed up for that, you're in Austin or you want to come in, we have a bunch of people flying in for that, which should be a blast. So if you're coming, excited to see you. Thank you for coming. Everyone coming in from out of town. Yeah. Appreciate you making the trip and looking forward to seeing you then. So thanks so much for listening, and we will catch you next week. Given you've made it to the end of the episode, there's a pretty good chance you're fairly serious about this e-commerce stuff, which is why you should check out the E-Commerce Fuel community. It's a vetted, vibrant community for 7- and 8-figure brand owners. And joining gives you access to a lively discussion forum for experienced founders sharing insights and getting help, access to our library of over 20,000 member reviews on everything from agencies to tech to lawyers to all the things that, you know, founders are making hiring decisions or purchasing decisions on to run their business, and invites to member events throughout the year. So if that sounds interesting, you can apply for membership and learn more at ecommercefuel.com. Big thanks to One-Click Upsell from Zipify Apps. Rapidly increase your AOV by offering targeted high-converting upsells. You can get started with them at ecommercefuel.com/upsell, and also to Fulfill.io, an ERP designed specifically to streamline complex e-commerce businesses and the highest rated ERP among our community members. Learn more at ecommercefuel.com/fulfill. Thanks so much for listening. Work hard, adventure often, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again next Friday.
This is the ASY Radio Network, live from New York.